Listening Library presents Ranger's Apprentice, The Early Years, Book 1, The Tournament at Gorlan, by John Flanagan. Read for you by John Keating. Forward. The events described in this book follow directly from the short story The Hibernian, published in Book 11 of the Ranger's Apprentice series, The Lost Stories. For those who have not read The Hibernian, it describes how Halt and Crowley first met as younger men when Halt came to the kingdom of Araluin as a fugitive from his homeland of Hibernia. Halt was the rightful heir to the throne of Clonmel, but his younger twin brother attempted to kill him and seize the throne. Saddened and embittered by his brother's behaviour, but unwilling to fight his own flesh and blood, Halt chose instead to leave Hibernia behind. He arrives in Araluin at a time when Morgarath, Baron of Gorlan Fief, and the kingdom's foremost knight, is engaged upon a carefully planned attempt to seize power. One of his first steps is to weaken and destroy the Ranger Corps, an elite special forces unit who are the eyes and ears of the kingdom, and the most powerful group supporting the existing king. Over a period of several years, Morgarath has organised for the more senior rangers to be falsely accused of crimes and forced to abandon their posts or flee the country. He has replaced them with his own sycophants and toadies. Morgarath is an influential figure and has gained King Oswald's confidence, convincing him that his son, Prince Duncan, has been conspiring to murder him. Oswald takes refuge in Castle Gorlan, under Morgarath's protection. As time passes, Morgarath's protection becomes increasingly oppressive, and the king finds himself a virtual prisoner. Crowley, a recently commissioned ranger, trained in the traditional skills by an old ranger named Pritchard, is disillusioned by Morgarath's scheming. Shortly after he meets Halt, he decides to reform the Ranger Corps. He plans to recruit the few remaining members of the original group and seek a royal charter from Prince Duncan. Crowley discovers that, like himself, Halt has been trained by Pritchard, one of the first of the rangers to be driven out of the kingdom by Morgarath. This seals their friendship. The bond between them is reinforced when Halt joins Crowley to fight off an attack by half a dozen of Morgarath's soldiers. With Morgarath's men hot on their heels, Halt decides to join Crowley in his search for Prince Duncan. Together, they set off on their quest, with the ever-present threat of Morgarath's enmity behind them. Chapter 1. It had been raining for a week. Not heavy rain, but a steady, persistent, soaking rain that finally overcame the protective oil in their woolen cloaks and worked its way into the fabric itself, making it heavy and sodden. And cold. As they had done for the previous few nights, Halt and Crowley were camping out in the woods. Halt suggested that they should avoid towns and villages until they were sure they were clear of Morgarath's sphere of influence. And Crowley initially agreed. Halt, after all, had more experience of travelling as a fugitive than he did. Now, however, he wasn't quite so sure about the decision. They were sitting under a rectangular oilskin sheet that they had spread between four trees, with the lower side angled so that the rain would run off it. The ground beneath them was saturated, and they had constructed low cots from tree branches to keep them off the wet earth. Each cot consisted of a rectangular frame, with a series of short cross pieces, and leafy boughs laid across it to form a rough mattress. Each day, they would disassemble the frames and carry the longer timber pieces with them, lashed in a bundle. A few metres away, their horses were tethered. The animals huddled together, sharing their body warmth and keeping their hind quarters turned to the wind and rain. Halt shivered and pulled his cloak more tightly around him. As he moved, a runnel of water ran off the cowl and landed on his nose, continuing its downward passage to drip off the end. Seeing it, Crowley laughed. Halt turned an accusing eye on him.
"What do you find so amusing?"
he asked coldly. Crowley, also huddled inside his cloak, nodded his head toward his friend. Hugh sitting there, hunched over and dripping, like an old man with a runny nose, he said. Unfortunately, the shrugging movement dislodged a stream of water from his own cowl, and the drops ran down his nose. He sniffed, the smile dying on his face. "You find it amusing that I'm soaked to the skin and dying of cold?" Halt asked. Crowley made as if to shrug, then realised that such a movement would send more water running, and restrained himself. "Not amusing, perhaps, but certainly diverting." Halt turned very carefully to face him.
"And from what does this sight divert you?"
he asked, with careful attention to his grammar. When Halt was in a bad mood, he invariably paid careful attention to his grammar. "From the fact that I'm also sitting here with water running off my nose, cold, wet and miserable," Crowley said. Halt considered that.
"You're uncomfortable?"
Crowley nodded, sending more water cascading.
"Totally," he said.
"Some ranger you turned out to be," Halt told him. "I thought rangers could face the worst discomfort in the line of duty with a smile on their lips and a song in their heart. I didn't realise they would sit around whining and complaining."
"Facing discomfort doesn't mean I'm not entitled to whine and complain about it. Besides, only a few minutes ago, I was laughing and cheerful." Crowley shivered and pulled his cloak tighter. More water ran off it. "These cloaks are good up to a point, but once the water has soaked into them, they're worse than nothing."
"If you were sitting here wrapped in nothing, you'd soon see the difference," Halt replied.
Crowley grunted, and a brief silence fell over the campsite, broken only by the persistent patter of rain on the leaves, and the occasional stomp of one of the horse's hooves. They were faced with another cold supper. The air was so moisture-laden that getting a spark to take from Halt's flint and steel to ignite a handful of tinder would be beyond his capabilities. And even if he could manage that, there was no dry firewood. Usually, they travelled with an emergency supply of tinder and kindling, but they had run out of both 2 days previously.
Pity, Halt thought.
Even a small fire would have provided some warmth, and the flames would have given them a psychological boost as well. He reached for the pack on the cot beside him and found a piece of beef jerky. He bit some off and began to chew methodically, his jaws working on the tough, flinty meat. Maybe the exercise of chewing the jerky would warm him, he thought. The meat was certainly tough enough to require considerable effort from his jaws. Slowly, the smoked meat flavour began to release from the jerky and fill his mouth. Then, of course, he realised how very hungry he really was, and how little opportunity he would have to relieve that hunger. He took a deep breath and let it out slowly. Being cold and hungry was miserable. Being wet was equally so. Being all three was well nigh unbearable. "I've been thinking," Crowley began, leaving the sentence hanging for a few seconds. Halt shook his head.
"And here am I, without pencil or parchment, to record this momentous event."
Crowley raised an eyebrow in his direction. At least, he thought, that didn't send water cascading down his face. He raised his other eyebrow as well, just to make sure. No cascade. So he relaxed them both. "I think we might have crossed the border out of Gaul and Fife," he continued. Halt grunted, a non-committal sound. Crowley took that as a signal to expound on his theory. "That river we crossed late this afternoon, I think that might have been the Crow's Foot River, and that's the border between Gaulan and Kerriman Fiefs."
"Equally," said Halt.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?